Sports Man Show. We're here with Kermit Davis, friend of the show, and then with the Ole Miss Rebels out of SEC. Coach, how things over in Oxford, man?
Well, we're licking our wounds today. They are. We up 10 at Texas A&M last night and just couldn't buy a bucket and ended up going like 18 for 60 from the floor. Got beat at A&M and got back late last night and took the day off today and get ready for Arkansas Razorbacks on Saturday.
Yeah, because I know you got to deal with Cody Musselman, and what he brings to the table is always a different type of matchup with those guys. You know, baby, he did a good job in Nevada. Now he's there in Arkansas. So what are you seeing from on film so far, Coach, as you get ready to play those guys on Saturday at 5 p.m.?
Yeah, you know, they got nine guys coming back off an NIT team that won a game in NIT. They got good experience. They're playing really hard, very fast, and up open floor. They're guarding at a high level. And Eric's done a great job with their team. They're at Florida tonight. They're at LSU tonight. And so we'll get another good look at them tonight and get ready for Saturday.
Yes, indeed. Now, Coach, you know, you took over his job in 18 here. So, Coach, what do you say you've been the biggest improvements you've made since you took over and had a full season, offseason to kind of implement your culture, your system, and your style of play here as you get in this season here going forward?
Yeah, you know, this time last year, we'd just beaten Auburn at home, who was ranked 12th, and getting ready to go to Mississippi State. Had a great win at on CBS, and our team was a little more experienced, put together. You know, obviously, we had Terrence Davis, who started for the Raptors tonight and had 11 the first quarter, so obviously we missed Terrence. And we've had one key injury to a starter that's kind of hurt us. You know, we're young. We're playing nine new guys right now, and we only have one senior. A lot of teams are young, though, so that's not an excuse. But they just don't really have the toughness and IQ that, you know, we love to have in our teams right now. And we're 9-5. We've played a difficult schedule, but we've got to keep recruiting. We've got to keep bringing in depth, got to value toughness a little more in recruiting, get tougher guys in here that understand the competitive nature of the SEC.
Yeah, Coach, it's a very tough conference from top to bottom. I mean, there's no easy night. Any one of the schools you play, it's no way you say this is a win. So, you coach guys hard. What I love about you, coach guys hard. And you got to have guys who want to be coached hard and are very coachable and accept coaching, which is of paramount in the SEC, of course.
Well, you know, the biggest thing I think is you coach guys with good body language. We got some guys that don't have great body language. They got good body language when it's going good. And they're all good people. But, you know, for competitive athletics, you've got to coach your best players the hardest. And guys just got to have a great value and love for basketball. And so as you're building your program, sometimes, you know, we got off to a quick start last year. Maybe it's a little reset this year. You know, we got to start building depth. And I love what we're doing in recruiting. You know, we just got some young guys in our program that maybe not quite ready to impact SEC games at a high level. He's got to keep working with them and hope that'll happen toward the end of the year.
And, Coach, you know, what's good about the conference play is you do have talent to prepare for your opponents and kind of do some self-scouting and player development pieces as well as you prepare for those guys, which hopefully will help them as you go through January, February, into March, and then come to Nashville for the tournament at Bridgestone, of course.
Yeah, we do. You know, we kind of play a lot of Saturday, Tuesday games. You take off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday to prepare for Saturday games. And, you know, the league schedule is just tough. I mean, those Sunday quick turnarounds and Tuesday are hard. And so, you know, our team just got to, you know, we got to put scouting into the game. It's a fine line, whether, you know, you're scouting or involved. We got to work on ourselves a bunch in the next couple of days. So we got to scout Arkansas, and we will, but we got to get our team better.
You got there right, Coach. And if Coach, now, like I said, you got a few young men from down here in Georgia. One of them been sophomore forward, KJ Buffin. Talk about him a little bit, Gainesville, what he's going to mean to your program going forward as a young man as a sophomore.
Yeah, you know, I really like KJ. He's in a little struggle right now. He's just not rebounding the ball. He's not as physical as we'd like for him to be. He's had some really good moments this year. His last couple of weeks has not been what we think KJ can play. He's got to be more assertive, more physical, tougher. And, you know, so he's played really good against I hate to say it, but against lesser competition, non-Power 5, in the Power 5 games he hadn't played as well. It's kind of been kind of our whole team. So I think KJ's got good talent, but he's got to play better. He's got to play better because he's got a big role for our team right now.
And I know freshman forward, Carlos Clay out of Albany, Georgia, coach, was actually where my fiance is from. You know, she wanted me to ask you about him as well because he's from our hometown.
Yeah, Carl's a great kid. And he redshirted him. He's not getting as many minutes as, you know, right now. He keeps working. He's in the gym today on his own. He's got a great attitude. He's gotten his body a lot better. I do think Carl's is going to be a really good player in time. And so, you know, he's just got to keep plugging away and keep working.
And, Coach, you know, I think that what's good about, you know, your program is this, Coach, you've always been a guy who can develop talent. You know, I watched you at Middle do it for years, and I know you can do it at Ole Miss, of course. And so do you try to get these young men to realize that you have to win today and the process really matters about getting better? Like you said, Carl came in on his own today on the off day. So all those things that matter after practice, getting up shots after practice, getting the extra lifting, of course, work eating the right way, because every little thing you do, that's what happens on the court on game nights.
Well, you know, I think sometimes guys get to our level and they almost feel entitled. They get spoiled a little bit. You know, I mean, I can't imagine that, you know, you have an off day and guys don't come in the gym. We had four or five that did not come to the gym today. We had seven or eight that did. You know, you're fixing to play an Arkansas team at home. The game will probably be sold out. You know, you're so – I don't know. The guys are built different, and it's up to us to get the right guys in recruiting that love competitive situations, that respond to adversity, that understand you got to go through tough situations, understand about taking care of your body, eating right, sleeping, being with the right people, you know, just paying attention to scouting reports, all the little bitty things, you know. There's two things that always matter in anything that you do, not just basketball. It's passion, toughness, and basketball, and just IQ. You know, you got to know your craft, and then you got to have just kind of a real passion to do it. And, you know, so we've got guys that are struggling in one of those areas, and you start building your program, you got a lot of guys that have toughness and great basketball IQ.
Get out there, right, Coach? Now, I know if anybody can get done, it's you, Coach Davis. And, you know, and so for you, I know being back in Mississippi has to be good for you. So how's the reception being of you coming back home, Mississippi, and all the friends and family you have back home there?
Yeah, that's been unbelievable. I'm so grateful to Ole Miss to give me an opportunity to come back to my home state and coach in a state that I've always loved for my whole life and be close to my mom and dad, my brother, my sister, my daughter. We got married to a guy from Tupelo. They come to all the games. And so that's terrific for me. I just couldn't, you know, be in a better place in my career right now. And I love Ole Miss. People are fabulous. You know, I want to win so badly for our players and our fans and our university and take it to a national brand in basketball. But, you know, we've got a lot of work ahead of us for sure.
And, Coach, I love the arena down there. I came down in 17 and I kind of walked in it a little bit and saw it. But I watched it on TV. It must be a thrill to play that new arena. I know the old place is real nice, too, for the nostalgia. But that new place you guys have is pretty nice there you have.
It really is. It's probably as far as a fan-friendly and fan amenities. I put it up against any basketball arena in the country. It's perfect size. They designed it great. I mean, the fans are there with three different areas for eating and social drinking. And it's like an NBA arena, parking to the arena, lighting. It's just scoreboard, everything, game operations. They do it unbelievable. And so it's an NBA arena that seats 9,600, which is perfect size for us. And so they did it. It's spectacular. And we love playing in it, and we'll have another great, great crowd there on Saturday.
I thought it was cool, Coach. You guys played Rob Barnes at Bakersfield, old coach at Ole Miss, and you played your old school in the middle. I thought it was pretty cool. You played two people who meant a lot to you. Middle, of course, you've been there for so many years, and Coach Barnes who meant a lot to that program as well.
Yeah, you know, I talked to Rod, and, you know, Rod is great. Rod is just typifies Ole Miss. Was you think about it, was his number is retired at Ole Miss. He took a basketball team, NCAA tournaments. He was an assistant coach for good teams. He's done a great job at Cal State Bakersfield. So Rod and his family came back, and we honored his family and Rod. And he's an excellent coach and a great, great person.
And I watched the game in Memphis you guys played. You were so close to beating those guys. That team was very talented, you know. And your guys about got that job done up there against those young men. I know it wasn't the result you wanted, but it had to make you happy how they competed against those guys in Memphis for sure.
Yeah, you know, we got down 16, came back, cut it to one, had a chance to almost win it at the end. And I thought Brennan got fouled on a three-point shot. They ruled it on the floor. And so we were down three. You could have made all three to go into overtime. But it is. Memphis has a really good team. It's a great crowd, great rivalry. We look forward to having Memphis back in the pavilion next year.
Well, Coach, I tell you what, Coach, I'm happy to hear from you again, Coach. I missed you. I missed talking to you as much as I did when you was in Middle Tennessee, but I still keep my eye on you, see how you guys are doing it over Miss, Coach. I'm happy to talk to you. I look forward to seeing you in Nashville at the Final Four when you come down here in Atlanta as well, Coach.
Well, you got it. We look forward to seeing you. Happy New Year to you.
Same to you, Coach. See you soon, buddy.
Thanks, JR. Bye, buddy. Right. Bye.
Thank you.
For all your photo, video, and voiceover needs, check out the fine folks at Blu-ray Productions. They will take good care of you. If you don't believe me, you can see for yourself. Check out their work at blueberryproductions.tv, the Facebook page, Blueberry Productions, also a Vimeo page, a YouTube page, and it's Blueberry, B-L-U-B-E-R-R-Y, Prod on Twitter. Check them out today. Blueberry Productions, great people, great work, great service.
Hey there, your yard took a real beating this summer. Luckily, Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard has your back. Just feed your grass with Scott's again this fall when the air is cool and the soil is warm. It's the perfect time to give your lawn a boost. If you do, Winter Guard will give your yard the nourishment it needs to help weak, thin grass recover and support root growth, giving you a greener, more resilient lawn both now and next spring. Guaranteed. Grab a bag of Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard today. You'll be back to barbecuing in no time. This is a Scott's Yard.
Hey parents, we all try to be extra careful with our children in the car, but then we get an important call or text. Remember, our children are watching. Make every drive a good example. Be in the zone. Turn off your phone. Visit childrenshospital.vanderbilt.org/BITZ to learn more about our Teen Driver Safety Program. Brought to you by Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt, the Ford Motor Company Fund, and the Allstate Foundation.
Hello, my name is Travis Williams, President and CEO of Academics and Athletic Consulting, focusing on educating and empowering tomorrow's collegiate athletic leaders. My passion is for the education and genuine concern and care for today's student athlete. It's the centerpiece of my life's work. A college education, both in and out of the classroom, is a truly rewarding benefit. For more information on AAC, you can go to www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Once again, www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Or you can follow me on Facebook at Academics and Athletic Consulting or Twitter at Coach TWill24 or Instagram Travis L. Williams 24. Or you can call me at 404-542-607. Once again, AAC is very proud to partner with J.R. McHenry of the Boss Man Radio Show, covering sports and entertainment across the country. Please tune in weekly for informative, entertaining, and expert analysis on today's sports and entertainment topics. Thank you.
Folks, back on the Boss Man Show, here at Barkley Raider Ball, the Charleston Southern Buccaneers out of the Big South. Coach, good to talk to you for the first time on the show. How's life, man?
Man, everything is great. We're well into the season. Like our team, we've had some great wins, some tough losses. So we're getting better. Really like our guys, love their attitude and their effort. Just got a couple more areas to grow in, but all is good. How about you?
Coach, I can't complain. Talking to you tonight here on the show, then I'm going to go to the Hawks game tonight. They play the Suns tonight down at the arena. So a great big night here for talking to you tonight and go see the Hawks play tonight as well, man.
That's great. I love watching the Hawks play. They're fun.
Yeah, Trey Young is a beast, Coach. I'm glad we have him. I know that's – he's our bright spot this year.
He's worth the price of admission.
Yes, sir, he is. Now, Coach, you're in the middle of year 15 leading the Buccaneers. Now, Coach, I'm going to just date myself. I started college in 05. You started college, so you've been assigned to college, started college in 05. So what's been the key to your longevity, Coach, being in one place 15 years, knowing how the coaching carousel is just churns every year in the professional coaching? It just churns every year around March and April.
Well, they asked me to do three things. They asked me, we're a faith-based university, so they asked me to coach in a faith-based Christian way, and so certainly been able to do that and enjoy doing that. We've graduated 53 out of 54 players since I've been the head coach here, and we've been very, very competitive. We've won a couple championships. We've been in the race multiple years. We've had some tough years, but we really focus on trying to do things the right way, to really love these kids. We got three main priorities. Number one, and they're in this order, is to help them become better men. Number two is to graduate. And number three is to be the best basketball team we can be as they become the best players that they can be. And I think that formula has really worked for us, and it's kept me sane, given me a mission. That each day I wake up and help these guys, try my best to help these guys become better men.
Yes, there are some right coaches. I definitely, too many coaches only get involved in the on-court piece. But growing young husbands, young doctors, young lawyers for future basketball players is very key, because this era are student-athletes, Coach, and not just athlete students. You know, so that student piece is very, very big. And coming to college is an opportunity to grow and become, like I said, become a better man and become a better person as you can in your 30s and 40s and 50s and for a whole lifetime, for sure, Coach.
Yeah, we've had a bunch of guys over the years that come from different backgrounds, different home lives, different situations, and we try our best. I try to hire assistant coaches that are men of character. We try our best to live the right way before them and give them an opportunity to we try very hard to be good husbands. We try to coach in a way that is not demeaning or shameful, full of shame. We try to build them up. Be ultra positive, very, very demanding, but ultra positive. And I just believe sometimes guys go into Division I athletics and they come out a little bit damaged and with some things in their mind that shouldn't be in there. And just to have the opportunity to have influence on these lives has been a major, major blessing.
Yes, indeed, Coach. And I know last year you had 18 wins last season, Coach. So what did you guys prioritize as a staff, as a program, to make sure the program booms even better and develops even further in 2019 and 2020 going forward?
Well, we got to get I hate excuses, man. I hate excuses. We got five guys out for the season. We beat Missouri. We won six out of seven. We started having these injuries and a concussion, and just a number of things that have derailed us a little bit. Those are things you can't control. You can't control those things. And number one for us is to stay really positive. We've lost three in a row, two of them close games that we've lost in the last minute, and one where we didn't play well. And so we got to stay really, really positive. We are struggling a little bit on the defensive end with our rotations. We've lost some size through injury, 2-6-8 guys. But we can't control that. So, and then our shot selection has been not the best the last three games. We really got to play together as a team and move the ball, make the extra pass, fight for your teammate to get a great shot. And kind of work a little harder on the offensive end. I really believe the team who gets the best shots night in and night out is going to have a great opportunity to win. And so through our defensive effort, better rotation, better guarding the ball, if we can create tough shots for our opponent, we can move the ball a little bit better and get some better shots for ourselves, then I think we can jump right out of this thing and jump back into the race in the Big South.
Good thing about it is it's early, Coach. It's early, it's only four games in, it's a tough conference, right. And Coach, how's the addition of Hampton being to the conference? I know it kind of made everybody have four in Virginia, four in Carolina, and four in South Carolina as well. So it's kind of like, you know, everybody's symmetrical now, having the 4-4-4. Now, how's it having Hampton in the close games you played against those guys and the Pirates up there, that close game with those guys? How's it having them in the league now?
Well, they're very good, number one, very well coached. Very well coached. Have great size. They have a great recruiting base. They can get up east. They can get into D.C. They can get into Maryland. Obviously do a great job in Virginia, North Carolina. They have an amazing facility. The energy in their arena is always great on game nights. The thing that has been difficult for us, because we're a bus league, is that we're the southernmost institution, and they're the northernmost institution. And so we beat USC Upstate on Thursday night on a bus Friday, played Saturday at 6, and that's difficult for the lower and mid-D ones that don't charter. And so they've been a tremendous addition to our league, very successful program, and we're just going to have to figure out a better way to get there, get our guys rested, because we've been up there three times, once last year, once this year, once last year in the CIT. We've played three close games and come out on the short end in all three. So we got to figure that travel piece out a little bit better.
Yeah, because, you know, especially like it's like I'm going to mention that, Coach, at the lower D1 level, because, you know, you got 6 wins in non-con with the injury that you had. It had to make you really happy. But I got to realize, Coach, you guys are playing a guarantee game. You have to play to raise money for your institutions. And a lot of people don't understand that, for that are fans, that the record in non-conference for a lot of guys in lower D1 basketball is predicated on having been on the road the whole time and playing guarantee games to raise money for their schools for the general fund.
That's so true. I mean, for us, back-to-back-to-back games, Furman was a home game, and Furman's very good, very well coached by Bob Ritchie, who started his career at Charleston Southern as a coach on our staff. And then 2 nights later, we're playing Dayton. 2 nights later, we're playing Michigan State. So those games are difficult. The Missouri game was certainly a highlight of our season thus far. But just the travel. But it's a necessary part of being a low D1 coach, is you got to bring in the money for the institution, for the athletic department. Some use it for their own budget. Some use it for the general budget. But, you know, it goes with the territory. You learn not to complain about it and turn it into a positive. Even though sometimes the score can get a little lopsided, you turn that into a positive, give them an opportunity to be on national TV, Big Ten TV, A-10 TV, play in those arenas in front of those crowds. And what we choose to do after those games is always find something positive. Like against Michigan State, we got to the rim 9 times. In our dribble drive, 7 of them were blocked. But in our league, those shots aren't blocked. And if we can keep attacking and keep attacking, we showed them that on film, and while the score was lopsided, we were able to find some positive teams to build our team up instead of tearing our team down. And hopefully we can continue to grow and use those experiences as we go through the season.
You got that right, Coach. You know, going to Tennessee State University, where I did, is an OVC, same situation you guys are in, having a lot of damage ready for some general fund and athletic department. So I know firsthand as an athlete at TSU about having to deal with, you know, having to go buy games, having to raise money for the school. So I know firsthand, I can speak to it from a player perspective as well, knowing about resources and what we did have, how we had to get by, had boosters helping us out. So, yeah, Coach, I'm with you. I totally understand what you got, what you go do on a yearly basis for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And what I'd like to do, I'd love to, is play some of those bye games a little closer. You know, the Georgia Tech, South Carolina, Clemson. We've been able to do that in the past, and where you can bus, play the game, and get back. And you know, the flights. And it's just part of it. It's part of it. You got to keep it in perspective. You got to stay really positive with it and know that you're doing that for a greater purpose. And look at them as opportunities instead of hindrances. And when you do that and sell that to your team, then it can come out as a positive.
And, Coach, you got 2 big games this week against Campbell, and you got one against High Point as well. So what's on film as you get ready for Campbell here coming up here on the 16th?
Well, you know, we got to get healthy. We had 8 guys in practice today. eight guys in a walk-on today in practice. So we're hoping to have a couple guys back for that game. Campbell is good. They're a Princeton-based team. They run the Princeton-style offense. They're very good defensively with their pack line. We've lost a couple in a row here, and so the biggest goal for us this week has been let's look at the things we do well. Let's stay really positive. Let's have our practices upbeat and know that this thing is a marathon. It's not a 100-yard dash. It's a marathon. Last year we started 1-5 in the league and finished 9-7. And so we can turn this thing quickly. It just takes a win or two to change your fate. But we know Campbell's good. It's a nationally televised game on ESPNU. They'll have a tremendous crowd there. They have an incredible facility, and they're a good team. And we jump right in a bus and get up to High Point, North Carolina, and play Tubby Smith and his team, who's a very, very young team, very talented, but playing a lot of freshmen, a couple sophomores, and Tubby's rebuilding. And so hopefully we can have a great week.
And, Coach, you have three young men from the city of Atlanta on your team, and Travis Anderson, Terrence Porter Jr., and Malik Battle. Can you talk about those young men, what those young men mean to your program going forward as you're a freshman?
Terrence Anderson is a redshirt freshman, and he is a talented combo guard, shoots it well. He's currently out with a hip injury, and so we really miss him. He hit a big three-pointer against Missouri to take it from a four-point lead to a seven-point lead. Malik Battle is growing. I really, really like Malik as a player. He's a talented combo guard, 6'3", very long athlete. I love Malik's attitude towards the game. I love his attitude towards life in general. He's always up, very positive, wants to improve, has really struggled on the defensive end to learn how to play defensively at this level, but every day he comes to work, he's in our rotation, and is going to be a really good player for us. Terrence Porter Jr. is out for the year, certainly without a doubt our most talented recruit, 6'8", super long, played at the Skill Factory last year, and at a prep year, and has really, really grown, was in and out of our starting lineup, had some nice games, and tore his meniscus. And so we feel like he has a ton of potential both in college and after college. So, you know, we've been very, very careful with his knee to bring him back very slowly, and rather than risk having him back in late February, we're going to medically redshirt him to give him 4 additional years of college and let that knee heal properly instead of rushing it medically. We're going to allow that thing to really just get totally well, have a great summer. We have him in the weight room. We're trying to work on some form shooting with him because he's limited with his mobility. But we think Terrence is going to be a very talented player.
And, Coach, how important is the recruiting in the Atlanta area, with Charleston only being 4.5 hours from Atlanta when you drive to South Carolina there? So how important is it really for you guys to recruit this area and find good young men to fit your program at Charleston Southern University?
Outside of our home state, there is no more important area for us than Atlanta. Stodden Emily is on our staff from Collins Hill. He was the best player to ever put on a uniform at Charleston Southern, and is a tremendous recruiter. He's been playing professionally. This is his first year on our staff, and you know he knows how important Atlanta is to us, and that area. And there is such good coaching down there, high school coaching, and so many players. And schools like us, if we can build relationships and do things the right way, and we have been able to just have 2 or 3 or 4 guys from Atlanta on our roster every year. We're excited. We're currently involved with a number of young people from Atlanta. We're going to be in Atlanta in, I think, a week, recruiting again. And so outside of the state of South Carolina, Atlanta is our most important area.
Yes, and I think location-wise, with being so close as well, not that far away from home for these guys, it's an easy trip to go down there to go to school right there on the beautiful beaches down there in the water, the great environment, the great community of Charleston, and how you guys treat people. I think it's a great place for young men from here to go to school out there and enjoy life and grow as young men.
Yeah, for sure. We sell that it's close enough to get home for a weekend, but far enough away where you can become your own man and you can have some independence. And we just love those. We've had so much success with players from Atlanta.
Coach, I thank you for your time tonight. It's been great to finally get a chance to talk to you. I hope wish you all the best this weekend, this week against Campbell and High Point. I hope to see you again on the road. Hope to see you at the Final Four as well, Coach.
I'm already looking forward to it. Obviously, you do a great job. Thank you for your excellent preparation for this interview. Thank you for knowing about Charleston Southern and taking the time to learn about us. And much, much appreciated. And anything I can do to help, and anytime you want me or my staff back on the show, you let me know.
I sure will, Coach. Thank you so much for those kind words. Have a great night, Coach. Be blessed.
All right. Enjoy the Hawks.
Yes, indeed. That's Boston Randall on the Boston Show, people. Thank you again, Coach.
Till the tears run down from my eyes, Lord, somebody, ooh, somebody, can anybody find me somebody to love?
Alexa, play hits from Queen.
Okay.
Somebody to love.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Folks, back on the Boss Man Show. Coach of the Morgan State Bears, had him on in the summertime with us. Kevin Burles on the Boss Man Show with me. Coach, what's up there with you in Baltimore City, man?
Everything's good, man. We just grinding, trying to make this work. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Yes, indeed. Well, Coach, talk to us real fast about this first one. Just throw out there to you. Talk to you in the springtime. We first got the job at Morgan State, so what do you say is really important about the program since you took over the program over the summer and fall here into the winter now?
Okay, I missed some of you. Said what happened now between what happened?
I said what improvements have you made since we last talked in the spring for the program over the summer, spring and fall here?
The improvements are, the guys are starting to buy in and trust what we're telling them daily. And the improvements is the mindset of these young men. It's a positive mindset. And, sometimes when you have kids around you, it takes time to grow their mental in the way that you want it to be. And I think these guys are really buying in and trying to do the things that asking them to do, So the improvements are across the board. I mean, from the start to the finish, from A to Z, guys are just working hard and just trying to get better every day.
And, Coach, do you feel like the fact that, that you guys have won some in non-con, you went to the Bahamas, competed well there, that really helped the young men furthermore buy into you and your staff's program, what you guys want to accomplish here at Morgan State going forward?
Absolutely. Winning helps your mental as well. It shows that you can win. And, we played some close games over in the Bahamas, and these guys felt they could compete with the mid-major plus, the high major minuses teams. And it helped when we went a few other places. We won at GW. We won at Loyola Marymount. We won, one game on the road in the conference. It's helped their mental to grow in a positive way. So winning always helps. It always helps, trust me. So I think these guys are growing up daily.
Yes, indeed. And, Coach, like you said, growing that mental. And so having that being said, another part of that mental is making sure the guys are physically fit. So your strength conditioning, Coach, really is a very key factor to your program to get these guys, keeping them from getting injured, not only being in shape, but not getting hurt, and also helping them grow and develop as men. So for the young men who are on the underclassmen, you need them to play good for you in year two or three of your program.
Absolutely. We got one of the top strength coaches, I think, in the league. Tommy D, he's done a really good job, with our guys, getting them physically fit to compete at the highest level. And we played against some of the highest level teams. And we looked apart, we played apart. You know, just some teams are just outright better than you. We as people, as coaches, got to understand that. And I get it. You know, I've been at the highest level. I've been all around in this basketball arena. And I just tell you, we're on board, on par with what we're trying to do with anybody at our level when it comes to strength and conditioning. I think he's done a great job with these guys and gotten them prepared for battle. So hopefully, knock on wood, that we keep competing and we keep getting stronger.
And, Coach, being a new coach, of course, you got to build that culture, that camaraderie, chemistry with your players. So as the process has gone on since May 1st when you was hired, what have you guys kind of done more and more with the players on and off the court, kind of build that bond with the players amongst themselves and you guys as a staff to trust you and them to know that, say, I chose you guys. Y'all didn't choose me, but I chose you all.
You know, just spending time with them, you know, having those one-on-one meetings and having those group outings at your house and, you know, just doing things with them to show you care about them. Not just say it, but show them that you care. And we've tried to do that from time to time when time permits. And I think it has really helped with some of them who didn't know any of us, knew of us, but didn't know us. And I think they're really trying to come across and please, that's the way I can put it. They're trying to please us as well as we're trying to please them as well. So I just think it's all coming hopefully full circle here in the near future.
And, Coach, you have a veteran roster, a lot of upperclassmen, but we've got some young guys mixed in. So as looking at your roster this year going forward, you're feeling a good spot knowing what you have. Kind of, you got to be old at the right time, but also have enough young guys in the pipeline to keep you old and stay old so you can be competitive in the MEAC and beyond for years to come.
Yeah, well, we got a good mixture. We got two seniors, Stanley Davis and David Syfax, and they've played a huge part for us for the little success we've had so far. They've done a lot for us. And then we got a mixture of juniors. We got three or four juniors, three or four sophomores, and maybe four or five freshmen, you know, a couple of transfers. But I think I like the makeup of our roster because, you know, most of these guys will have a chance to play with each other again next year. And that's what we're building towards. Now, don't get me wrong. We want to win now, but we're building towards, you know, next year and the following year. We're building a program, not just a team.
Exactly, because you know, some coaches will just go all fifth year guys, just try to win fast, and you know that's a red flag to me when I see that. And you're just trying to save your job for the most part because you need to win this year. But have actually building a program is some key for sustainability because y'all got to try. If you do that fifth year thing always, you all got to try to get that chemistry up every year. But if you have some stables and sustainable, you're gonna be successful no matter who you are if the AD and president allows you. It's time to build it the right way.
Yeah, you know what? But let me make sure you understand. I'm not against the fifth-year, you know, player coming to you. You know, you have a couple here and there, but I don't want to build my whole team around fifth-year players. But and it's no knock on whoever does it. That's the way they do their program. It's the way I'm going to do mine. I'm not good enough to coach someone else's program and tell them what they bring in, what they should bring in, and what they shouldn't.
No doubt.
Just coaching mine. And my thing is, you know, yeah, I'm not against it. I'll take one or two, you know, from time to time, but I don't want a team full of them because, you know, a lot of times, like at the highest level, when you have three, four, five pros, sometimes that can be a detriment because everyone's trying to eat. Everyone's trying to get there. You need some role players. You do, at that level, you need a couple pros to compete. But it's everyone has a difference in how to build a program. And I'm not telling no one how to build their program. I'm just trying to build mine at this point, you know, and trying to be successful at doing it. But, hey, right now I think we got a good mixture of a roster, and we're trying to build and take a few guys here and there and make it work and try to win the MEAC conference championship.
And know I know about the MEAC, what you guys have to do for us, travel on the road and those guarantee games you have to play. Winning six games in the non-con, plus with a tournament in the Bahamas, just make you feel really happy about your roster, knowing, hey, we go on the road a lot. We got six wins in the non-con. We got eight wins right now with two coming this week. It's make you feel really, really happy with your roster as you sit here in January here.
Well, I'm not going to say we're happy. We're pleased at some of the outcome because we've given some games away and we've stolen some games. Just be real about it. I mean, could have gone the other way on some of those games we won, but we felt we gave a few games away, and we're not completely pleased. Right now, we're probably where we should be, give or take here or there. But, you know, we're not going to say, oh, we're down and we're miserable about where we're at. No. We're fine. We just got to get healthy. Once we get totally healthy, then I think we can get the ball rolling and we can get a few more wins and, you know, maybe get to the top of the conference.
And well, a lot about you is watching your schedule, coaches, today. Like you said, you play a lot of close games. You can go in either way, some you won, some you lost. But that adversity should show these young men, give them a teaching point for you guys as a staff, and also teach them, hey, if we do this the right way, execute, make the right play here or there, we can win games in March. Because all it comes down to really is winning one on the conference title for sure. But those days in Norfolk really matter to get the job done. When you play in that pressure cooker, you got to execute the right way, make the right plays. Hopefully, as adversity they face in November, December, helps them come March in Norfolk there.
Absolutely. You said you hit the nail on the head. So what we're building for and what we're striving for is those last 3-4 games in March in the tournament. We're building for that. We're trying to, you know, figure out where we are as a unit comparative to other teams in the league. And we just took a tough loss down at Bethune, which is a good program that we thought we had a chance to win. But, you know, at the end, it wasn't our day, first and foremost, and they were the better team that day. But we think once we figure this whole thing out, by the time it's February, March, we're better to play with the top teams in the league.
Yeah, Coach Rear does a great job down in Bethune. He does a great job down there. He's a heck of a coach down there for those guys.
I'm going to tell you this. Let me say this, though.
Yeah.
It's a lot of good coaches in this league, and the world needs to know. These guys, they know what they're doing when it comes to coaching basketball. You know, I haven't played half the league, but I've watched them, a lot of them, and they do some good things. And I want to commend all these guys on coaching their teams, how they go about their business. And it's not what people think it is. You know, sometimes the MEAC and the SWAC get a bad rap. No. I've been at the highest level. I've seen it all. I've been to a Final Four. And these guys, they handle their business just like anybody else in the country do. And I just want to put that out there.
Yes, indeed. And, Coach, you got Howard coming up here, and A&T coming up as well this week. So what are you seeing on film as you prepare for these two tough matchups this weekend with Howard and A&T coming up for you guys?
You know, what I see is we gotta execute and not turn the ball over. We got to execute better down the stretch. And we hopefully we'll be fine, but we got to take care of the ball and play amongst ourselves more so than outside of ourselves. We just got to keep it simple, play hard, play smart, and play together, and we'll be fine.
Yeah, Coach, best luck to you, Coach, this weekend. I'll talk to you again real soon, man. Thanks again for coming on the show once more. A little Georgia had you on in June. Glad you come on again in January, Coach.
Hey, man, I really appreciate it anytime, and good luck to everybody out there the rest of the way, healthy, and, you know, play well and do well and be true to everyone around you, man. That's all I can say.
All right, Coach. Thank you so much. Have a good one, Coach. I'll talk to you real soon, buddy.
Thank you.
All right, it's Kevin Broders here on the Ball Special for Morgan State University.
My heart skipping a beat. You're not close enough, so that space between you and me, let's lose it. The way you're dancing, swaying to the music. Girl, that body and how you move it. Every time you cross my mind, girl, I lose it.
Alexa, play the Country Heat playlist.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
It's maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. All the stars are closer. All the stars are closer.
Tell me what you're gonna do to me. Confrontation ain't nothing new to me. You could bring a bullet, bring a sword, bring a morgue, but you can't bring the truth to me.
Alexa, play Kendrick Lamar and SZA.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Till the tears run down from my eyes, Lord, somebody, ooh, somebody, can anybody find me somebody to love?
Alexa, play hits from Queen.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Folks, back on the Boss Man Show. Staying in the MEAC Conference with Robert Jones, coach of the Norfolk State Spartans. 3-0 conference play so far. Coach, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well, yourself.
Hey, coach, I'm doing good. Can't complain, man. Can't complain one bit, coach. Like I said in the open here, you're 3-0 in conference play, man. You know, non-conference over. So how you feel being back in the MAC, when I'm in the MEAC, rather, and seeing your guys compete well, get off 3-0 start, that's make you really, really happy so far.
Yeah, so far, so good. You know, we have a lot of new guys, so these guys are finally gelling a little bit, and we're playing some better basketball. We lost a couple close games in the non-conference, which would change our record a little bit, but I think we just didn't have the maturity to win those games because of everybody being so new.
Yes, indeed. Now, Coach, you know, having all of these new guys and these new pieces to kind of play with on the chessboard here, so did you use the non-con maybe to kind of adjust to your roster, see who can play what role, what guys fit best together, kind of do some experimenting, knowing that what really matters is the MEAC, not so much the non-con, but you want to win those games, of course, but the real thing is merely winning in the MEAC, especially winning in Norfolk as well, those 3 days in March there.
Yeah, the non-conference, you know, schedule we had was tough. You know, we always play a tough non-conference schedule. Due to our recent success, we just can't get, you know, cupcakes anymore, really. So we have to play, like, you know, the best of the best. And I think that it built some character and let a lot of these new guys understand what Division I basketball is about and how hard you have to actually play to win a basketball game, because you're not the only team trying to win. So, you know, as we get into conference play, you know, competition is still stiff. You know, sometimes it's a little different, but it's still, you know, still dogs trying to go after that one bone. So, you know, we try to just, you know, play and execute and play the hardest that we can for 40 minutes and hopefully win some more basketball games.
Yeah, Coach, like you said, having all those new guys, you know, last year you guys won 22 games last year, so did you go to a period trying to get these guys to realize that they was last year's team, that some of you guys wasn't on that team last year, so you can't have that same kind of swagger about yourself because you weren't on that team. You have to 0-0 this year. You have to work, put in the work to be good this season, not worry about what we did prior to you getting here.
Yeah, like I tell the guys all the time, we're not defending, you know, like we're not defending anything. We're not the defending regular season champs because no one was there that really played last year. All those guys are gone or graduated or, you know, other things happen. But with these guys, they're trying to make their own legacy, and I think that, you know, all those guys we recruited was kind of sold on the 22-win season and the Alabama win and the, you know, big upset in NIT history and things like that. But now they have to realize that, they have to create their own legacy. And I think they're willing to do that. They're working hard every day. And, you know, they do want to create their own dynasty. So, you know, hopefully they'll keep doing it and we'll keep getting better as the game goes on.
And I have so many new guys, I'm pretty sure, Coach, you're having to teach more than you probably did with last year's team, which is probably exciting for you, too, as a coach, getting to teach these young men your system, your style, your culture, and developing them and what you want them to do on and off the court as well.
Yeah, it's been definitely a lot more coaching this year, a lot more teaching. You know, some terms you throw around loosely in the previous years when the continuity of guys you know, you can't throw around those terms as loosely anymore. You have to explain every term. Now, hopefully next year I can throw those terms around loosely because, you know, in theory, a lot of guys should come back. We only have one senior on the roster right now. So, you know, it's just been a rough time with the teaching so far this year. But, I mean, like I said, they're coming along. They're understanding now, you know, and also winning helps because just like losing is contagious, winning is contagious. So, you know, these guys see kind of like the fruits of their labor that they've been putting in all year since the summer starting to come to fruition a little bit by being 3-0 and hopefully to go 4-0 this weekend and continue from there.
Yes, indeed. Now, Coach Don, you're doing a little bit more film sessions as well, because I know seeing themselves on film where they can't run from because the eye in the sky doesn't lie, you can kind of point out, hey, well, you missed an assignment here on defense, or you didn't screen right here properly, or you missed a play here. So getting them in the film and really holding them accountable has to be a big part of it probably now with so many new guys on the roster, so everybody can see it at the same time, hey, pick up on it together and might help make some same mistakes come a big game in February and March for you guys.
Yeah, we've definitely done more film this year than we probably had in the past. You know, so I think that is a reason because, you know, you try to teach them on the court. You know, you talk to them verbally. You try to show them on the court with demonstration. And then now, you know, there's more visual stuff with film. So we try to teach them those three ways to make the progress come along quicker. And I think some of those guys didn't realize that maybe you're not playing as hard as you think you're playing, or you're not at a defensive stance, or you didn't box out, or things like that. And when you do watch it on film, it makes you more conscious to do those things when you step back on the court.
Coach, we've had nutritionists on the show talking about nutrition and how nutrition helps you prevent injuries. So I want to kind of take it to your area of expertise with the strength coach you guys have and the importance of a strength coach keeping the guys not only preventing injuries and keeping them in shape, but also get them to eat right so they won't get injured and keep make them last from November to March because the season is 5 months long. They have to last until March playing 30-some-odd games. So how important is your strength coach to your program and keeping your guys in shape and also healthy, preventing them from having injuries as well and eating right?
Yeah, strength coach is very important. I mean, a good strength coach, I think we have a pretty solid one with EJ. We have EJ Newman. I think he's a pretty good coach. You know, and just keeping these guys, like you said, one, you know, their strength up because, you know, a lot of times you gain all the strength really during the summer. And then throughout the year, you try to maintain it with different, you know, workouts per week and things like that. So, you know, he tries to maintain their strength. And then, of course, there are some guys that we want to, you know, eat a little less, and there's some guys that we want to eat a little more. So we have to monitor those things, too, to really get a max effort out of those guys. But sometimes eating on the road is tough. You know, we play all across the country, so sometimes we have to eat late, which is not always the best thing. But if we do eat late, we try to make sure it's something that's, you know, not McDonald's, you know, something healthy to eat late if we do have to eat late. So all those things come into play over those 5 months of the season to try to make a good run at it in March.
Now, Coach, like you said, you know, with you guys' recent success of being good, man, you got all these new players. So I'm pretty sure on the recruiting trail is really helping you guys a lot right now, Coach. And you don't have to really do as much selling and marketing as you would in the past because of the success you've had over the past few years in Norfolk State. So how's the recruiting trail treating you now? Do you feel like you're getting more in more homes now because of the success you guys have had recently here?
I think that I mean, it kind of all started back in 2012 when we beat Missouri, which was a big win for the program and for NCAA basketball history. And that helped open the doors even more with them. And then, of course, with Kylo Quinn getting drafted, that helped as well because now you don't have to, you know, before when you went into somebody's living room, you had to say Norfolk State, you know, 15 minutes from Virginia Beach, Southern Virginia, you know, things like that. Now you don't have to sell every little piece of what Norfolk State is. Like, people now know who Norfolk State is. Now you guys just kind of just go in there and just sell yourself on why they should come to the school instead of going somewhere else. But before, we had to, you know, you had to talk about location and everything else, so you don't have to do that anymore.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And like you said, and I feel like for, you know, getting the HBCU experience as well, that's another key point for me for having any young man that wants to come up to Norfolk State. You're going to get an HBCU experience and play for a coach like yourself and get a good education as well, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, a lot of folks look for HBCU experience. Some don't, and some we have to convince that HBCU experience is a good experience for them. So usually most of the time when kids come, they have a great time socially, athletically. You know, hopefully we continue to win games so they can have a good time that way. And then, you know, get their degree, of course, which is the biggest thing.
And like you kind of mentioned earlier, Coach, but I know you got really happy with how your team might not got the wins you want in the non-con, but you guys competed very good against those high majors and those kind of high-quality mid-major teams as well, and acquitted yourself pretty well. Could have won a game or two, some more games here or there, like you said. So, you know, I think that has given your team confidence that they're getting better because they compete against such great competition, knowing what you're up against for us, having to play the guarantee games and be on the road so much, travel, like you said, late night bus trips, may not have a plane sometimes. So I felt under the circumstances, I mean, I know it's not what you wanted to have 4 wins of non-con, but like we said kind of earlier, it's kind of good for them to get ahead of adversity now rather than later.
Yeah, I mean, we had games when we play Ole Miss. You know, it was a 5-point game with like 6 minutes left. And, you know, we were right in that game. You know, we played Bradley tough. We played Northwestern pretty tough. You know, a couple of games that we should have won with Niagara and Drexel. We lost by 4 points to those guys. We should have won both of those games. We beat a good Bowling Green team. They're one of the best mid-majors in the country. So, you know, I think it gave those guys confidence. I think it gave us confidence as coaches, too, because you don't really know what you're going to have with so many new guys. You know, we lost 80% of our scoring. So we could easily, you know, be a team in rebuild mode and not be very good this year. But the coaches and the players, you know, made it their business to not be in real rebuild mode, just kind of, you know, hopefully reload mode and just continue the coaching that's been established here over the years. And, you know, so far in the MEAC play, we're doing that.
And, Coach, you got Eastern Shore coming up here on Saturday, the 18th here. What's it for those guys on the film as you all prepare to play those guys on Saturday?
Eastern Shore is a team that has had a very rough non-conference schedule, a tough non-conference schedule. And, you know, they're a new team, new coach and everything like that. So they're adjusting with a new system, and I mean, the coach adjusts to his players. And they're a team that can look really good in spurts, and they're a team that can look, you know, just okay in spurts. So it's going to be our job to be able to make them, you know, not look as good in spurts through a good game plan going into that game, because they're going to be fired up. I mean, because of that 22 wins last year and the regular season title, you know, 14-2, we could have been 16-0. We lost one game at the buzzer, and we lost another game where we had a couple guys suspended for an in-season incident. So, you know, we could have went 16-0 last year, and I think a lot of those teams remember, a lot of those players remember that, you know, they haven't beat us, and they're trying to we have a bulldog on our back, basically. You know, they're trying to beat us. So, you know, we got to understand that Eastern Shore is going to be one of those teams that's trying to beat us as well, and we got to come prepared for them.
And, Coach, I feel like people don't understand this. Like I said, when people look at the records of the MEAC overall, I'm like, I talk about time, like, you don't understand what these guys go through non-con. That record don't mean nothing, you know? don't get fooled by the record you see right now, because those guys really be good, but you don't know who they played. They had to go play the Braves for their school. So talk about that, Coach, how a lot of times people overlook you guys because they see the record non-con. I think all the teams in the conference are bad, not understanding really what you guys go through at the low D1 level, what's having to travel and how you get games, especially you all being good as you are, can't get anybody who want to play you guys and have to travel like crazy as well.
Yeah, I mean, we can't really get any Virginia games because none of the Virginia teams want to play. You know, it's like you know, if they lose to us, they feel like they lose, like, a recruiting stronghold on different things. And, you know, a lot of these teams in Virginia can easily lose to us, you know, and things like that. So that we don't get a lot of Virginia games. So we have to play all across the country because we got to play somebody. And, you know, with us, even last year, we were only 5-10 in non-conference, but we finished with 22 wins and beat Alabama, you know. So, you know, it just showed the kind of team that we really had, and that, you know, the non-conference season was just a rough part of the year. I mean, even right now, you know, we're climbing back towards the overall 500, which I think we'll do, you know, shortly. But it's like that, you know, we could have, you know, like I said, we could have easily won 3 or 4 more games non-conference, which now changes our record currently and also gives us some signature wins non-conference. But I think the team that we do have, and other teams in the league too, are pretty talented teams. They just, you know, went through a rough non-conference schedule.
Yes, indeed. With Coach Jones, I definitely thank you for coming on the show again. As always, hope to talk to you down the road, and hope to see the Final Four as well, Coach.
All right, man. Talk to you soon.
All right, that's Robert Jones in the Bossman Show.
Hey there. Your yard took a real beating this summer. Luckily, Scott's Turf Builder WinterGuard has your back. Just feed your grass with Scott's again this fall when the air is cool and the soil is warm. It's the perfect time to give your lawn a boost. If you do, WinterGuard will give your yard the nourishment it needs to help weak, thin grass recover and support root growth, giving you a greener, more resilient lawn both now and next spring. Guaranteed. Grab a bag of Scott's Turf Builder WinterGuard today. You'll be back to barbecuing in no time. This is a Scott's Yard. We'll be right back.